remember it set the Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, all of the T's are together. Titus 1. Look at verses 9 to 11. He is already, I'm going to back up, I'm just going to paraphrase because I want to get into it. He calls these people, he said when he was in Crete that he set in order some things, and he appointed elders in every city, like I commanded you. Verse 7, a bishop must be blameless. He's associating an elder and a bishop as being what? The same thing. Over in Timothy, he calls an overseer and a shepherd the same thing, and an elder. So they're using these words interchangeably here. So he's talking about church leaders, church ministers. We use the word minister to mean anything. Scripture, basically, a minister is either in the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you know. And those are the main, what we would call, ministers. Everything else is sort of a sideline. Because, see, an elder and a shepherd had to be a teacher or a pastor. So when we say minister, we include in any of those, okay? Preacher is included in that. Okay? He simply proclaims. He's an exhorter and a teacher. So you see how these are interchanged. So he's talking about church leaders and ministers. And notice what he says. Holding fast the faithful word, verse 9. Holding firm the faithful word as he has been taught. So he's saying the overseer, the minister, the teaching elder, those who rule, they're to be what? They're to be faithful. Hold on to the faithful word, which is what? The teachings of the Gospels, the teachings of the Apostles. This is what all teaching is to be built on. All teaching, all doctrine, anything that we build on must be checked and challenged by the foundation. And the foundation was the Apostles' teaching, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So everything. Notice when Jesus departed, and 40 days or so later, 40, 50 days, when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church. From that time on, it's interesting. It said the apostles gave commandments by the Holy Ghost. So what was happening? He was recognizing that the apostolic call of the 12, and actually there are 20-some apostles mentioned, but the 12 were the foundation. All the apostolic teaching was to confirm and check one another. That's why it cannot be in disagreement. When people start telling you that James and the books of Peter are a little questionable, they are heretics and false teachers. That's what they are. No, they're in perfect harmony with Paul. There's no disagreement. It's just that they don't know how to rightly divide Scripture. See? Scripture has to be rightly understood. And they don't know how to do this because they don't have no wisdom. They don't have wisdom because they don't follow the Lord and they study Scripture and they don't obey it. That's why they've got so many false teachers and calling themselves Christians. They're deceived and deceiving. Jesus said that. The apostles said that. So he said what? The elders and the teachers and the bishops, they're to hold fast, hold firm the faithful word as he has been taught. See, it's assuming before he takes on the office of a bishop or a teacher, he ought to know Scripture. He ought to know what he's teaching. That's sad today, isn't it? Today, the attitude is teach. You might like it. Try it. You might like it. If you don't know what you're teaching, keep your mouth shut. You don't want to send nobody to hell because you gave them a half-truth. Keep your mouth shut. At least you won't go to hell with them. Be sure you understand what you're teaching because God's going to hold you accountable for what you teach. So you should know what you're to teach or keep your mouth shut. Okay. Do what James says. Don't become a teacher. Okay. He says that he's been taught that he may be able by sound doctrine, actually the word is teaching, that he may be able, who, the minister, the teacher, may be able by sound doctrine. Anytime you see the word sound doctrine, it's mentioned by Paul many times, to Timothy, to Titus, it's mentioned in the other books, the epistles. The word sound teaching, the best way we could translate is that, it meant teachings of the Scripture that had practical application is basically what it meant. It wasn't a mental acceptance of just the belief of a mental knowledge of Scripture. Their understanding was it was the Word working. It was the Word active. It was the, what he would call the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. So they weren't talking about a mental acknowledgement of the instruction of Scripture. That's called the letter of the law, Tillich. He was talking about the spirit that produces something. He was talking about the rhema, the logos becoming the rhema, the Holy Spirit giving life to his word. Because there is no regeneration, there is no edification, there is no spiritual growth unless the Holy Spirit takes a part in it. So what does he say? And again, the Holy Spirit always agrees with the word. He will not counter the word. John says the Spirit and the word agree, always. Any teaching, any prophecy, any revelation that cannot be checked out by work, by the word of God, you know what you do with it? You take it into the bathroom, and you put it in the toilet, and you flush it, because it ain't worth nothing. Paul would say it ain't worth dung. So we'll just say the same thing. Okay, by sound teaching, by the real word of God, rightly divided, rightly understood with wisdom. What is wisdom? The right use of knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Wisdom won't let you be puffed up. See, a lot of people are puffed up with knowledge because they think they have a degree. They think because they studied something, because they are learned and have remembered something, that they are wise. No, they're fools. See, wisdom teaches you humility. It will teach you not to be proud. Knowledge will only puff your little brain up. Wisdom will punch you down and let you know that you think you know, you don't know enough. See, that's what Paul said. If you think you know, you don't know enough. It'll humble you. See, and great knowledge and great understanding of Scripture, if you understand wisdom, it simply says what? Oh, it's wonderful that you know all of this, that you know a lot more than anybody else does. And then God comes along and says, and I'm going to judge you more severely than I do anybody else. That'll humble you, won't it? Wisdom will say, ooh. See, it's not enough to know. We have to be accountable to what we know. Don't be looking for knowledge if you don't have the intention to obey God, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. Okay, so they're to be what? Faithful to the word they were taught. They're to be able, by sound teaching, by understanding the word, both to do what? Now, notice what he required of all ministers. We don't hear this today, do we? We hear a lot of ministers, I just have the ministry of the positive word. I only give prophecies that build people up. Then you're a messenger of Satan. I can't say nothing else about you. You're a false messenger, because there is no such message in the word of God. We will see that Paul believed in giving the whole counsel of God, not what the people wanted to hear. Prophets never gave the people what they wanted to hear. Not true prophets. That's why most of them were killed. And it hasn't changed under the New Testament. Even Paul said, if I cease preaching the cross, my persecution would stop. When you start talking about self-denial and going to the cross and giving up your life, then the people don't like you. They want you to tell them how to build up their self and their self-esteem. God isn't interested in your self-esteem. He wants it dead. God ain't interested in you being happy. He's interested in you doing his will, and then you'll have joy. God isn't interested in you finding your life and being fulfilled. He's interested in you giving your life up for him. Ooh, well, that don't appeal to us, does it? See, apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't go to the cross. You'll dance around it. You'll nail one hand down and leave the other one free. You'll beg God and plead with God, and you'll run around it and say, just let me do this, God. Let me do this, so let me do that. And he just stands there with a knife and says, I only want one thing, the sword and your old man. I don't want to patch him up. I don't want to heal him. I don't want to dress him up. I want him dead and buried, and then Christ can come forth. Without the old man being put down, the new man cannot reign. So we need to get back to Scripture. And the old man don't want to hear this. Nor do false Christians and false teachers want to hear this. They want to hear smooth words and lying words. But like the great prophet Isaiah said, but what will they do in the end? What will they do in the end when the very word will judge them? Okay, notice what he says. They're to do what? If they know sound doctrine and they've heard the word, they're to exhort and convict those who contradict. What are the ministers to do? They are to what? Exhort. What does it mean to exhort? to gently warn, sometimes strongly. It means to admonish. It means a similar thing. It is included to correct, to rebuke, to reprove, to come against. So it deals with a strong side, doesn't it? It deals with the rod. And people don't like the rod. They never have. And the scripture says, a fool despises correction, but he shall die. And the soul that despises correction, it says he's caught death in hell. So if you don't like the word of God correcting you, read what the scripture says about you. I didn't say it. Read what the scripture says. Then you'll start to back up and say, you know, maybe I need to hear some of this stuff I don't want to hear. You're to exhort and to convict those who contradict. What does it mean, convict? It means you take the sword and you slay them. It pricks them. It cuts them. Now, see, today, we're not living in a millennium. Today is not the time to beat the sword into plowshares. Today is not the time to beat the Word of God into a spoon. See, today, the ministers are seeker sensitive. They want to bring you to Jesus without convicting you of sin. You know why? Because they're messengers of Satan. That's why, very simple. See, they want to offer you grace. And they want to offer you God's covenant and God's love and faithfulness without you going to the cross. They want to offer you all of this, and they say it's free. See, they don't give you the whole counsel. It's free when you go to the cross, when you give up your life. See, we need to understand the whole counsel of God. See, a lying gospel has been given to people because they won't give them this one. To convict. What was the greatest of gifts? He considered it prophecy. What was prophecy? To speak forth the mind of God under inspiration. It had very little to do with fortune-telling or forth-telling. It is included when necessary. No, it means to speak the word, and the word is to convict. It means it's to smite. That's why it says a two-edged sword comes out of the Lord's mouth. He comes to prune. And if you don't take pruning, you get slain. See, that's the only solution God has. You take reproof or you rebel and be slain. He that is often reproved. One day the Lord comes up and goes, he cuts it off. I didn't say that. Scripture says that. The axe is laid to the tree. And he's ready to chop it down if it doesn't take his reproof. See, people don't want to hear that. So what are the ministers to do? By sound teaching. What sound teaching? What's here? And rightly divided. The whole counsel of God. That which is positive, that which is negative. That which makes me feel good, and that which makes me feel terrible. That which takes me where I'm at. See, the Word of God is a discerner, and it's able to smite you where you're at. And that's what it's intended to do. It's intended. Prophecy is meant to expose sin, not cover it up. Prophecy is not to comfort people, unless sins have been dealt with. You know, it's interesting. See, we got today people going around giving all these prophecies. I can tell you most of them are false. Because I can look at the people they're giving them to and tell you they're false. Because I know, according to sound doctrine, God don't talk that way to rebellious people. He don't promise them a lot of things. He promises them wrath and judgment if they don't repent. He don't promise them a lot of goodies. So that alone will tell me that most of these prophecies are false. Examine the person's life. Examine the prophecy. You can tell whether it was from God or not. People won't listen to God's word, but they're so quick to run to a meeting so someone can give them a prophecy. And God often sees to it that they're given a prophecy. See, God himself said, I'll send them a strong delusion. If they refuse the truth long enough, God says, I'll send them a strong delusion that they'll be damned. God said this. I didn't say that. That's New Testament doctrine. You like that? What are we to do? The teacher is to exhort and convict. And who? You and other teachers and ministers who contradict what this says. When ministers tell me, well, God's love is unconditional. I say, you're going to stop there? Well, yes, God loves you no matter what you do. I say, you're going to stop there? Well, what do you mean? I said, I agree with that. He loves you no matter what you do. And even when he drops you into hell, he'll say, I have no ill will towards you in my own nature, but you're going to burn in hell forever. See, that kind of teaching tells people what? No matter what I do, God loves me. But it ain't revealing to them the whole facts, is it? That he may love you, but he'll love you right into hell. And then he'll turn his back for eternity and never give you a second thought. That's the horror of hell. You know? See, we hear all these little cliches that are just not scriptural. give them the whole word of God. And see, people don't want to do that, do they? Because it offends. Go to 2 Timothy. Actually, just on your next page over to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go up to verse, we'll read several here, 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Okay, you think we're there? This was written 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago. I believe we're far past this. Spirit said it was going to happen. It was going to get darker, didn't it? It's going to be as the times of Noah and Lot. There'll be apostatizing and falling away from the truth. We're going to see many things. The scripture is very plain on it. People will read it and understand it. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. What's an imposter? An imposter is a person who deceives. That's what the definition means. He's proclaiming or expressing himself to be something he's not. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, sometimes he doesn't know he's a wolf because he's got brain dead. See, his mind is alienated from the things of God. Scripture says he's deceived and dead toward God. He just don't know it. Some of them know what they're doing. He's an imposter. It means he's not the real thing. Deceiving and being deceived. That's the curse of the false minister. That was the curse of the false prophet. Go back and what God said to him. He said, if the prophet is deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived him. God deceived true prophets when they backslid and rebelled against him. Do you know that? He sent lying spirits to them. He ain't changed. He promised to do the same thing in a new covenant. If they wouldn't heed him, he said, I'll send what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, when the Holy Spirit withdraws himself, often God sends the evil spirit to punish. He doesn't just allow the evil spirit to do in cases. He sends it. That's part of his wrath. He did this to King Saul. And the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord, the scripture said. I didn't write that in there. An evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. See, that's, again, much grace is rejected. Much punishment comes into play. Okay, notice what he says here. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and are assured of. He's talking about sound doctrine. You're supposed to know Scripture. You're supposed to be assured of Scripture, and you're to continue in it. Jump 16. All Scripture, old, new, is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed on by God. It's made a rhema. It's made alive. And is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what the Word of God's for? Three-quarters of that is negative. Did you know that? People say, but I just don't want a negative word. I only want a positive word. I'm sorry. Jeremiah was called a prophet to the nations, not just Israel. And you know what God said to him? Two-thirds of what God said to him was negative. He said, you will tear down, pluck up and root out. And then he says, you'll build and plant. See, a lot of people want to be built and plant, and God wants them torn down first. See, they want the old man built up. God is not going to build the old man up, and he is not going to anoint the old man. Cannot do it. They are at enmity with one another. You know? And we need to understand this is a possibility. Why are we to do this? Why is the Word of God? That the man of God may be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You cannot be equipped for every good work if you don't know Scripture or know how to use Scripture. You will never mature as a Christian. You will be subject to winds of doctrines. You'll be open to deception. You know how I teach and believe on this. I don't believe people are baby Christians after 5 and 10 years. I believe they're backsliders. I believe they're carnal and worldly and lukewarm. And every scripture I can read on the subject, if you die in that state, you'll go to hell. And I can't find no other place for it. If you die unrepented in that state, you're in a terrible state. Scripture doesn't offer you no hope. It simply says what? Get out of it. Read the seven churches. Jesus spoke to the seven churches. Never once did he use the word grace. Once he used the word faith as the faith. Did he believe in grace and faith? He most certainly did, didn't he? But to every church he said, he that overcometh, I know your works. I will give every one of you according to your works. He didn't say according to your grace and faith. Why? Because he understood by saying your works that that was grace and faith and action. See, he understood James. Remember, James was a half-brother of Jesus. Read James. James quotes Jesus more than all the other New Testament. Did you know that? He knew him. He knew how to talk about the tongue. He'd used it on his brother. James was the leader of the church, not Peter. James wasn't one of the 12. Isn't it interesting? But they all regarded him and his call. And he was the one who Paul went to. People say, oh, Paul was so great. He was. But if James said Paul ain't worth listening to, nobody would have, you would have never had any of this written. Why? Because the foundations had to be laid and checked by one another. And it was James and Peter who recognized Paul's writings as Scripture. Isn't it interesting? And when Paul comes along and rebukes Peter for being a hypocrite, he does it in front of James. And when James and when Peter tried to wiggle away from dealing with the Gentiles because he was afraid of what James thought. Now, isn't this wonderful? This is the cornerstone of the church, Peter, and he's afraid of James, who wasn't even one of the 12. Evidently, James had a high standing, didn't he? And the church recognized him. And he's only written one epistle. Read it. He quotes Jesus and paraphrases Jesus more than Paul does in all of his. See, we're not measuring one against another. They had their place. Paul was no greater, no less than the others. But they're in harmony. They're not in conflict. Okay, notice what he says. First of all, verse 1. I charge you. He's given him a charge. Why? Because he understands his call before God. He prophesied over him. Preach the word. Okay, it means to proclaim the gospel. All the gospel, not just one portion. Be ready in season and out of season. He's saying if you're called of God, you don't let your preaching and teaching go according to your moods. Moods are for cattle. They're not for ministers. Ministers minister by will and determination, not by moods. See, a lot of people can't minister unless they're emotional. Emotionalism has nothing to do with the propagating the gospel. Emotions are simply human responses. This is part of being human. It has very little to do with what the truth is. See why? Because the truth appeals to the renewed mind, not the emotions. It appeals to the mind, to the will. It produces what? A desired effect. Now, emotions are fine, up and down and back and forth. But if you live on them, you'll be on a roller coaster all your life and you won't understand sound teaching. If you wait around to feel good, you'll never feel good. And what does he say here? Be ready in season, out of season. Notice what he tells him to do after he's already told him to do what? Preach the word. Convince. It means to convict. Rebuke and exhort. These are three negatives. Every one of these is a negative. Why? Because conviction cuts you. It pricks you. It makes you uncomfortable if there's sin in your life. Rebuke. You know the word rebuke means? To come against. And what did Jesus say in Revelation? Those whom I love, I rebuke and reprove and chasten. It means he comes against at times. He can be sharp. This thing that Jesus is always sweet as honey is not scripturally found. He'll use the rod when it's necessary. He is not afraid to use the rod. And he says he chastens all of his children when they need it. So if you're getting away with sin too long, it's probably because you're a bastard and you're already backslidden and you don't even know it. You're like Laodicea. You think you're okay, but Jesus is already outside of your life and you don't even know it. See, that's what deception does. It makes you believe a lie. You know? And Sardis was worse. It said it had a name, it was alive, and Jesus said, but it's dead. They were a little busy about church activity and religion. They just weren't pleasing God, were they? And notice what he said then. Convict, reprove, exhort. Now notice he's going to tell you how to do it. With all long-suffering and teaching. Notice the emphasis the Scripture puts on teaching. Teaching is to do what? Convict, rebuke, and exhort. How often do you hear this on television? No, you hear, send your money in, and I'll send you a little item to make you feel good. Okay, give the warning here. Tell me we're not here. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. It means they will not put up with it. I think we're there. You don't see all the churches inviting me every Sunday, do you? You don't see my phone ringing off the hook to ask me to speak down at the big churches, do you? Why? If I talk like this, half the people would leave and they'd throw their minister out, wouldn't they? He couldn't get away with it. Because I'd have to stand in most churches and tell them, 90% of you people are lost and on your way to hell, but you're religious people. They'll probably drag me out of that church by my feet. And they'll pay these ministers $100,000 a year to tell them what they want to hear. They'd pay me $10,000 and never come back. They will not endure. It means they won't put up with it. We're there. What won't they put up with? Sound teaching. See, they can't take conviction. They can't take reproof. Why? Because they're not saved. They're not walking in the Spirit. They have no new man. Or they lost me. They're dead, twice dead. See, they can't take it no more. See, they fulfill Scripture. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. Therefore, they will not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. But it said, he that loves the light, that's the Christian, will come to the light and allow his deeds to be exposed. See, we can allow God to search us. Like David said, search me and see whether there be any wicked way in me. And reprove me and correct me and I will listen. But the wicked heart, what? The wicked man flees when no man pursues. Christians are to be what? Moths and come to the light. We're not to be roaches who run for the dark. See, there's a distinction. How a person responds to God's word will tell you a lot about that person. But according to their own desires. What? Whose desires? Their own desires. This is the old man, the world. This is the world that John says, if you love your God, God's your enemy. This is what James said, the same thing. If you like the world and you like living like the world, he says, then you're an adulteress, an adulterer to God. He says, you're God's enemy. They didn't mince no words. They made it black and white, didn't they? There were no gray areas with them. False teachers like to make gray areas. But according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears. Who has the itching ears? The ministers and the false teachers. They're doing what? They're listening to what? To what the people want to hear. That alone proves they're false. Anytime a minister runs around wanting to know what the people want to hear, he's already revealed he's a false shepherd. Because a true minister of God has but one duty, to proclaim the whole counsel of God, and he has no choice in the matter. He is an ambassador. He is not an interpreter. He must represent his king. And he doesn't add his own opinions. No. But see, they're not doing that. Why? Because they're not called of God. They don't understand the word of God. Or they're backsliders. They've sold out. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. The people want these kind of teachers, he's saying. They're out. That's why they're popular. That's why you see them all over television. You see, they can fill stadiums. You know? You can fill a stadium by just getting someone to fall on the ground and shake and bark like a dog. Well, go down to Tahiti. They do the same thing in voodooism. Don't prove nothing. Oh, I believe in slaying in the spirit, and I believe there's spiritual experiences. I've had some. But it don't prove nothing if you don't understand this. You better throw your experience out. A lot of these people have these experiences. They're not even Christians. They're backsliders. They're carnal. They're lukewarm. They're getting a demonic experience is what they're going to get. Because God is not going to give them a true one. It's contrary to his word. Study the word. It's contrary to God's nature to persist with rebellious people. His only solution for rebellious people is to warn and judge them until they repent. Go back and study old and new, and you'll find it was so. Remember Moses, the meekest man on earth, walked in and out God's presence, didn't he? Like no one did. Why? Because he was meek. He was humble. He was obedient to God's word. Yet the children of Israel did what? They stayed at a distance. And they said, he scares us. Now don't let God talk to us because he scares us. You go and talk to him. Of course he scared them. God spoke from audibly to all of them and says, you know why I spoke to you? So you'd be afraid of me, so you wouldn't sin against me. For you are a rebellious people. And see, that's why the scripture says Moses knew God's ways. That meant he really knew God intimately. But the children of Israel, it says, they saw his acts. And they all died in the wilderness, didn't they? They didn't make it. Because they didn't learn properly from Moses how they would act to God. And they saw signs and wonders and heard everything. And they were delivered out of Egypt. And he killed every one of them. But two adults. So that's so much for signs and wonders, huh? Where they'll get you if you don't obey God. They won't get you nowhere. They're temporal. You can well afford to get to heaven without seeing a sign and wonder. But you'll never get there if you don't obey this. Okay. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Who will? The people. They will not endure it no more. Jesus warned us they would do it. He says the time will come they'll separate from you. The organized and institutional churches won't have nothing to do with it. Because we can't fit into its system. It's mingled with the world so much. It's the great whore. You know? And it's everywhere. Catholic, Protestant, all of them. We see the great move happening. Be careful. Not all of them, but most of them. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Well, even Jesus said what? They'll separate themselves from you. Won't have nothing to do with it. And they will even kill you and think they're doing God a favor. Well, they kill us by slandering us. Oh, I get it. You're too legalistic. You know, you need to preach a little more grace than us. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's all I preach. It's just the version you don't like. And they'll sit there and say, but you don't understand. I say, I understand. I've read Scripture 75 times over 30 years. It's very plain to me. I said, but you've come back from seminary and they have untaught you Scripture and told you it really doesn't mean what it says. I simply believe it means what it says. And I believe any person with a fourth grade education can understand the Scripture and what's required for godliness and how to follow God. Okay, so it says what? They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to lies is what the word means. When you turn away from the truth, the lie is the only alternative. You resist the spirit of truth, you have a lie waiting for you. So that's the danger of the new covenant. If you reject it, you open yourself up to the demonic influence. And it doesn't say how smart you are, how intellectual you are. Most intellectual ministers are deceived and on their way to hell, but most of them got high IQs. I didn't say this. Paul said, look at your calling, brethren. Not many wise are called. Why aren't they called? Because they're idiots when it comes to the things of God. They will not believe the simplicity of the word. They try to complicate it, like the Pharisees did. It is astounding that all the simple people understood Jesus, and the Pharisees couldn't, because Jesus would not open their eyes to their understanding. That's why he taught them in parables, so they wouldn't understand the truth. And yet he opened it to the simple. So he ain't changed. You're not going to know God by intellect. That's only about 5% of it. You're going to know it by obeying what you know and what you've been given. Okay, what does he say? But you be watchful in all things. Why? Because this is going to happen. We're to be watchful because this is going to happen. Notice that was the call of the prophet in the Old Testament. He was called a watchman. In the New Testament, we're to be watchman ministers. We're to watch and discern what's going on and how to see what the enemy's doing. And he says something interesting to Timothy. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. He understood his call. He talks about now, real brief before we go to Acts, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was getting revelation that he knew his life was going to end soon. But notice what he says. Remember, he starts off his ministry. I have been called by God. He has called me. Isn't it interesting when Jesus called him and revealed himself to him, he tells Ananias, he didn't say you're going to be an apostle and a preacher and teacher. That came later. He said, I'm going to show him what he's going to suffer for my name's sake. How'd you like to have that kind of ministry? That was his revelation. And he said what? Well, unto me, he said, I have done what? Notice what he said here. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He knew he had been faithful. His conscience bore witness. And I have kept the faith. Isn't it interesting? He comes to the end of his life, his 30 to 40 years as a Christian, and he understood that he would stand before God with a clear conscience. Okay? Why? Go to Acts. Chapter 20. How much time do I have? I'm going to have to move fast. Chapter 20. Look at verse 17 first. From Motilius, I don't know how to pronounce that, but that's good enough. He sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Who's calling? Paul. Let's listen to what he says. He's called the elders together, the leaders, the ministers, and he's going to say some things to them. Verse 20. I have kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Okay? He's saying what? I didn't keep nothing back from you people that God revealed to me. Testifying to you and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles. And what did he testify? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot of people teaching, just confess this and believe this. You don't hear the word repentance no more because there's a false gospel out there. You can confess all you want, Jesus. If you ain't started repenting, it don't work. It's lip service. No, there must be change and turning. See, today, come as you are. Jesus accepts you just as you are. Scripture don't say that. Scripture says come to him and repent immediately. And Jesus said to the backslider and to the churches and John, he said what? He said, repent quickly, lest I take your light from you. What does the Scripture warn? The candle of the wicked shall be snuffed out. Jesus told his own people who were backsliding and falling away. He said, repent quickly, lest I take your lamp from you. That was real comforting, wasn't it? He said, oh, I don't like that kind of word. Well, he thought they needed that kind of word, and that's what he told them. He didn't threaten or warn them needlessly. He knew what to tell them. Okay, go down to verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Now, the end of Timothy, he's telling us about, he's coming to the end. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, notice what he called grace. How did he preach grace? Go back up to verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. So if we're going to use the word grace, let's use it right. But notice two things he said in 24. He was going to finish his race with joy. The race of what? He's making it to heaven. Paul never believed that he was assured he was going to save no matter what he did. You read Paul. Paul said, I'm saved by faith. But he knew it wasn't final until he finished the race. And he said, I will do everything. I'm quoting Paul. I will do anything, he said, to attain to the resurrection of the just. Now, if Paul believed he was so eternally secure, why did he say that? Because he knew it wasn't true. He knew he had to remain faithful to God to the end. He had to be an overcomer. And he was. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. But it's not final until we cross over. Until the spirits of just men are made perfect. Between the beginning and the end, you can fall to the left or the right. You can be led astray. You can turn your back on God. He'll never take your will away. You can be lured away. That's why we have to continue in the grace and continue in the faith. And what? And his ministry. He noticed two things. He wanted to finish his race and the ministry. He knew he would be held accountable to the call he was given to proclaim the gospel. And notice that we just read in Timothy, he said, I have finished the race. And he said, and there's a crown laid up for me. He understood he was faithful to this. Okay, go down. Verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day. What is he saying? I am innocent of the blood of all men. Can you deal many ministers that can say that? He's saying the same thing Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel, their blood I will require at your hands. And what was Paul saying? I have given the gospel. I have not shunned to hold it back. I've preached it. I've not watered it down. I've delivered what God told me to deliver. And he did, didn't he? And notice what he says. For I have not shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The sad thing is that many ministers and many ministers who were once called of God have fallen away because they have compromised the word for money, for gain, or to make their path easier. And they still believe they're right with God and they're on their way to hell. They don't know it. They're deceived. They're saying, Lord, Lord, like Laodicea. And he's outside. He's not in anymore. And they don't know it. See, that's what sin does. It deceives people. Okay. Therefore, take heed. Notice he said it again. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherds, to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, into the church fellowship, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. No longer are they going to be satisfied to proclaim the Scripture. They want people to build them up and make them special, anointed people, the great apostles and prophets, you know. They're simply not ministering the truth anymore. And they'll get followers. Therefore, watch. Notice he said it again. Watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. And people tell me, you warn too much. I've had people tell me, you warn too much. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't hear no ministers or teachers hardly anymore warning. You know? And they tell me I warn too much. I said, I just warn once a week. Paul said he did it day and night for 3 years. I figured that out. 2,190 some times he did this. Now, I've been teaching here for 3 years. And I haven't done it that long. I've only done it once a week. And some people can't endure that because we have them come in and leave. Mm-hmm. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. Okay? And to the word of his grace. And notice what he calls this. The word of his grace. And he has done what? The word of his grace. He warns you day and night for 3 years. Oh, and people say, well, that's not grace. Yes, that's grace. Anything that gives you the ability and the knowledge to stay out of hell is grace. Because if you know what hell's like, you'll take every reproof and every warning God gives you. There's an eternity. You know, I have a feeling when we cross over, we may spend the first 1,000 years. I'm not going to be running around seeing what my rewards are. I'm going to spend the first 1,000 years running around saying, I made it, I made it, I made it. Okay. And in finishing, he said what? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. What is able to build you up? The word of grace. What builds you up? Prophecy, edification, teaching. Paul said prophecy builds you up, the word of God. And he's calling it what? The word of grace. He's calling reproving and exhorting and warning the word of grace. It's to give you life. It's like medicine, though, huh? It's good for you. It just don't always taste good. Okay. And what does he say? It's able to build you up and give you an inheritance, your inheritance in heaven, among all those who are sanctified, those who are set apart for God, is what it means. And in finishing, I love what he says here. We'll end on that note since we don't have a minute left. I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. How many people on television can say that today? Send me all your tithes and your offerings. Send me this. You can't hardly listen to one message on television or radio that they don't mention money, money, money all the time because they're covetous. If you're called of God, you'll preach if you never get paid. That's how you can tell whether they're called or not. It's nice. They should be taken care of. True ministers of God. But he said what? I coveted no man's gold and no man's silver. He didn't turn the grace of God to covetousness like he said many had done. He didn't